Well, welcome back to week two of Celebrating Mother Earth. Did you know how America came to be? The legend has it that Sky Woman gets the credit. The Native American scientist Robin Wall Kimmerer tells this story of the origin of Turtle Island, otherwise known as North America, in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. On this one day, Sky Woman broke through from Sky World, the place from which she came. When she broke through the clouds, it opened up a hole that beamed down light on the dark waters below. Sky Woman tumbled through the air what felt to her like a very long time. But it wasn't just darkness below her or only water. There were eyes looking up, watching her fall. At first, it was like a dust mote in the beam of light, but as she became closer and closer, they began to see that it was a woman who was tumbling through the air, her long black hair flowing behind her. The geese down below nodded to one another, and they flew up to break her fall. Sky Woman suddenly fell upon this bed of goose down feathers. She caught her breath and felt the softness and the support. As they hovered now lower below the water, she began to see, and they began to see her, all the animals, the little eyes that had been looking up toward her. There was turtle, and there were sturgeon, and there were loon and swan, and many fish among them. The geese realized they couldn't hold her much longer, and the large turtle then swam into the midst of them and offered up his back. She stepped gladly upon that more solid surface. All the animals surrounded in the council that the geese had gathered there to resolve the issue of them holding her for too long. And they all began to realize that Sky Woman needed earth to live upon. She needed land. So one of them had an idea. They'd heard that there was mud at the bottom, and one of them would go and get it. One at a time, they began to dive deep, the strongest divers among them, loon and sturgeon, otter. But each one, the pressure got to be too much, the darkness, the length of the swim. Some of them returned with nothing, and some of them didn't return at all. Then the last one, the little muskrat, the weakest divers among them, said, "I will go." Everybody looked at each other a bit doubtfully, but what did they have to lose at this point? Muskrat was gone a long, long time. Finally, his limp body arose. He had given over his life. But one of the animals noticed that in his paw was clenched a fistful of that mud. And they opened up his paw, and Turtle said, "Put it upon my back." Sky Woman was so moved by the welcome and the kindness and the innovative thinking of the animals around her that she immediately began to spread the mud upon the back of Turtle in a song of thanksgiving. And she was so moved that she danced upon that new mud, and it created the earth we know, Turtle Island and beyond, really. She also, like any good guest, did not come tumbling from her other world without gifts. As she was moving through Sky World, she grabbed on to a branch of the Tree of Life. She also had in her bundle of gifts seeds and fruits. And so she began to move the Tree of Life about the earth and to plant the seeds and to spread the fruits and grasses and trees, and the great, great green earth began to spread. The animals, finding that they had plenty of food, some of them joined her on Turtle Island. And that is the origin of this land on which we stand. So like many of us, Sky Woman arrived as an immigrant, like many of us after 1492 anyway. And she made this land her home. she rooted here. It became a place of belonging, a place to care for. Can a nation of immigrants, Robin Wall Kimmerer asks us, follow her example and make this our home, root here, care for our home in that way? When we deliberately put down roots, we begin to feel that sense of belonging, and with it comes that sense of responsibility. Some of the trees on earth today are thousands of years old. They hold all kinds of wisdom that is useful to us as human beings, as does much of nature. And did you know that the root systems and the plants have a whole wealth distribution system going on beneath the surface? They actually share carbohydrates with one another to strengthen each other. They share water. They share medicine. They send out warning signals to help one another. The roots of trees and plants of many, many species operate in this kind of communal understanding that we take care of one another. They are rooted deeply in an honor of earth and one another. So the secret teaching that they hold, the secret way of being, is really a secret abundant teaching. It's what I'd like to call sustainable abundance. They know about their belonging, and they know that they are bound up together. And so too can we learn in this way. So too can we infuse our abundance teachings, our spiritual teachings, with this idea of sustainability for the many generations to come. When we thrive as a system, everyone else does too, not just our own species. In the same way that when the tree root system thrives with one another, everything else connected does too. The woodland creatures, the insects, the fungi, the humans. Intrinsic to these plant root systems and one another is this idea, this at the heart of the abundance teaching that is about sustainability. It's called reciprocity. Reciprocity is it takes our law of circulation to another level. You know, we often use the law of circulation in our abundance teachings. As we give, so we receive. We understand that the giving nature allows us to receive our abundance, and we trust in faith in that. Reciprocity puts the emphasis on the relationships and the mutual benefits. So it's an addition or an expansion to this law of circulation. It focuses on our interdependence, a knowing that we are part of this greater system of abundance. It's not just about our own personal gain, which is basically abundance 101, right? Abundance 101 is that we learn, okay, if I give, I receive, and so I will personally prosper. But abundance 201 is sustainable abundance that says, I'm part of a whole, and I contribute to a whole system that prospers together and supports me in return. In this understanding, we give and receiving as one living organism. And we understand that to prosper together or to be impoverished together are our basic choices. I call this sustainable abundance, as I mentioned before, and it is something I think key to us growing in our understanding of what our prosperity teachings are. It's the new frontier. I mean, we've really learned a lot, I think, in 2020. We've really been awakened to this idea of the sense of belonging to one another. When everybody is in a pandemic at the same time, or when we are all awakened to the issues of injustice in our world, there is a sense of togetherness that happens naturally that makes us look to one another in collaboration, in resolution, in restoration, in regeneration. All of this is about the goodness of earth and the goodness of humanity and the goodness of all life. And so we turn the corner now from me and mine in our prosperity teachings to we and us. And these are exciting times for our spiritual evolution because that whole framework of spirituality is now evolving beyond just abundance teachings. Chris Saeed calls it the second wave spirituality. It's here now for us to recognize that it's about us, all of us. So these are exciting times, I think. In Apache, the same word means land and mind. And we know in New Thought that so much of the shifts that we want, the transformation we want to experience, the kind of world that we envision living into, is all about the work of the mind, isn't it? And when we say mind, I mean consciousness. It is the head and the brain, but it's also the heart. It's all of this working together. And so it's a shift in consciousness that makes the change, always. If you think about land and mind is one, then we recognize that as we shift the mind, as we refocus, we also shift the condition of our earth home, the land itself. So as we do so, we restore. As we do so, we heal. As we do so, we all live in this place of abundance. We focus less on what we can take from the earth's resources, and instead, how can we thrive in reciprocity with all life? The spiritual laws of abundance work in both ways. So we know as we give, we receive. Also, we know as we receive, we give. It's a constant cycle, isn't it? So when we take from earth, it's so important that we give back to the earth. Otherwise, we've broken the law. We're not using the law for good. So it can be so simple. For example, when you're picking flowers, let's say you're out picking wildflowers or flowers from your own lawn or these beautiful roses that, Charlene, they did come from our front area of Unity to bless us this morning. And so when we harvest in that way, we can give thanks. Give honor to the plant and to the earth that has produced this beauty for us or this food for us. And even better, first we ask permission. That's really honoring the living beings. It's really honoring the earth to ask permission. May I take your flowers? May I pick your fruit? May I enter this area of the forest asking the wildlife around? So it is in this way that we begin to work differently, perhaps, but really it's about remembering how we always did work. Remembering the indigenous ways is remembering the natural cycles and ways that we were meant to live upon the earth. Years ago, I was in Peru with a group, and we were hiking past a group of men. They were working really hard in the hot sun. And my very compassionate friend, Mary, ran immediately over to them to offer them some water from her water bottle. One of the men greatly received the bottle. He didn't speak much English, and she didn't speak much Spanish, so there wasn't a communication of words. There was a communication of demonstration, of actions, of body language, of ritual. Before the man drank, he gave some of the water to the earth. In a prayer of action, and then he drank. I've never forgotten that. In fact, that group, we've talked about it over the years, that moment that moved us all, that inspired us all, that made us realize that giving back is part of the receiving cycle. Reciprocity is the key to experiencing abundance in this new era of spirituality. So 4 years ago, when we moved here, we began to plant a garden in the backyard. It's super fun to garden in California versus back in the Midwest, which was fun, but so seasonal. And so you had to start over every spring. But here, things just keep on growing and keep on growing, which is always amazing to me. So we started with this idea we could actually grow strawberries in our backyard. We had one plant. We couldn't wait for it to produce strawberries. I just read recently that 99% of gardening is impatience, but I felt like the impatient one, like standing over the bush, grow, 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 so we can eat your strawberries. But there were none the first year. And the next year, there were a few, not great. Now we're in our fourth year, and this is our harvest. There's a picture here. And it's been more than that, actually. That's one day's harvest. So there is this experience of joy and gratitude for our garden. And you see the boy there eating the strawberry. It's part of the reciprocity that happens, even just picking the fruit, enjoying the fruit, dispersing the fruit is a way of giving back to the earth. So if we just do it with that consciousness, imagine what our harvest could be next year when we eat with joy and enthusiasm and gratitude for what has been produced. We give back consciousness, not just actions. Kimmerer says that the genes of a strawberry plant for making yumminess, the highest level of those genes, they get perpetuated. They're passed on to ensuing generations with a higher frequency than those with inferior fruit. That mother strawberry plant that we planted has created 10 baby plants in 4 years, and they're all producing and flourishing. And there's a sense that when we pick the fruit, we give strength back to that particular plant. It's science and it's spirituality married together. She goes on to make the point that when a species or a culture acts with the same kind of reciprocity, it passes on the genes with this higher level of vibration. And this higher frequency of vibration that we pass on with this idea of reciprocity then breeds a whole nother generation that is not about destruction, that is not about the consciousness of scarcity or the consciousness of domination, but one of gratitude and reciprocity. Like those strawberry plants and that experience of gardening with our goddaughter Grace, which is who we planted with, we can pass on the consciousness of reciprocity as we plant, and it will last for many generations into the future, maybe infinitely so. So when we hear current climate change news, it's depressing. I mean, I don't know that there's any way around it otherwise to hear the news. But what we know is that we get informed, and then that work of the mind takes place, right? We shift our consciousness to what can be done. We shift our consciousness to resolution, to collaboration, to what is good and beautiful and bountiful. And it is through that abundance consciousness that we create a different picture, a different reality, a different experience. That's co-creating our world, principle number three. And so when we do so, it's that one is also known, that principle number three is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. So the kind of thinking, the kind of focus we offer is what the results that we'll get. There's so much inspirational innovation going on in the world. There's so much inspiring and good news. Sometimes you have to look a little harder to find it. Kiss the Ground is a new documentary that our new Earth Care team leader, Lee Sparling, told me about. We watched it a couple nights ago. It's all about how essential soil is to the future of our world and its health. And they talk about it in there, about how the way that we've been farming for hundreds of years is depleting the soil. But there are new ideas in regenerative farming that bring the carbon back home to the soil, which allows the carbon to thrive, the soil to thrive, because it loves carbon. Carbon, not so good for us, great for the soil. And so this idea of bringing it home back to earth is key. According to Project Drawdown, this idea of drawing the carbon back down into the soil in regenerative farming, it's one of the greatest ways that we can address climate and human health going forward. It's revolutionary. Billions of microorganisms in the soil are honored in this process. Farmers prosper financially, and we all get the proceeds of much more nutritious food. It's a win-win. It's abundance at every corner. When we draw down, we're drawing down closer to earth. We're remembering that soul and soil are one. When I was growing up in Chicago, my grandparents and extended family lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about 3 hours away by car. And so our family would often take that road trip, and when we did, sometimes we went off the main highways and we would travel through lots of farmland. And I remember my father would almost always comment on how he loved the smell of fresh manure on the farms. And my sisters and I would giggle, and we would say my dad was strange. But there was something inside of me that knew what he was speaking to was something deeper. It was about a connection, a primal kind of connection to the earth. And actually, recent research, as science often catches up with our spirituality, is suggesting that breathing in the scent of Mother Earth actually stimulates the release of the hormone oxytocin. That's that hormone that bonds mother to child or lovers to one another. That's amazing, isn't it? Profound and beautiful. Breathing the scent of Mother Earth can bring a flood of oxytocin to the system. When you throw something away, where is away? Julia Butterfly Hill's quote often rings in my mind when I go to throw something away. Where is away? It isn't anywhere away, right? Because it's all part of our land. It's all part of our home. It's all part of our mother. And so as we begin to recognize that and stop ourselves, it's that shift in consciousness. It's that remembrance that mind and land are one, body and earth are one, soul and soil are one. So what to do? Well, there's a lot. Because of all this human innovation and reciprocity and recognition and watching and careful observation of nature and what many call biomimicry, there's all kinds of solutions available to us. You've probably heard a lot of the R's. There's 5 R's and there's 10 R's and there's 3 R's, but all these R's are these sort of principles of sustainability. If you could think of the overarching R as this one we're talking about today is reciprocity, and then these practical ones underneath are things like refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose, and recycle, pretty much in that order. And so refuse, of course, is refuse to use single-use things, refuse to use disposable things, refuse to use things that are not going to break down as much as you can possibly do. And reduce is to reduce waste in general. So, for example, composting your food scraps is a great way to reduce waste and to bring vitality back to the soil. We can reuse next. And reusing is so wonderful through some of the modern day technology that we have. Apps like Nextdoor that help connect people. One person who's throwing something away, somebody else finds it useful. It's that old quote, right? One person's junk is another person's treasure. And so actually here at Unity of Walnut Creek, we're in the midst of that. Thanks to Lena St. Michael being on the Nextdoor app, we have a new pergola coming our way that will be a beautiful place on our land to gather for meditation or prayer or small groups or play or even small ceremonies and weddings at the back of our property. So we've met a new friend through that process who's giving all of that for free. And in turn, you might find when you come to our land that we have dug up the grass tiles that made a walkway in front of the cypress trees because it was disturbing the roots of the cypress trees and it was creating a tripping hazard. But guess what? That junk to us is a treasure to someone else, and someone else will get that in return. That's how we reuse together. So that's reciprocity in action. It builds community. It connects us to one another. It does so much more for all of us. Repurposing can also inspire great creativity in us. Brian Mock is what he calls an upcyclist, and he makes incredible sculptures out of reclaimed materials. Let's take a look at a few of those. So all of that is made out of scrap metal, things that we would throw into that mysterious, not so mysterious, actually, place we call away. Brian sees use for art, for beauty, for inspiration, and he makes creations like these. Sustainable actions are co-creative. They're fun and they're endless. Once we get going, we recognize the creativity keeps on flowing and new ideas come, like Sky Woman falling through from Sky World. These divine ideas come to us, ways and new ways, innovative ideas of how we can live in a reciprocity and gratitude on our earth home. So one of the keys we've always known to abundance, to prosperity, is to feel good, right? Feeling good is the fuel that helps the experience of abundance. And so when we feel good, we feel abundant and wealthy. And when we feel abundant and wealthy, then we begin to attract more of what we want to experience. Joy, creativity, all these good things that we have mentioned, a sense of unity and engagement in life. We can kick that old scarcity myth to the curb now, that more is better. We know that's not necessarily true, that cheaper and faster in the long run won't serve us. And the long run is getting shorter, so we recognize the time to act is now. Sustainable abundance is lasting abundance. It's an abundance that sees into the future and the many generations to come. And that idea of instant gratification that our consumeristic society is built upon begins to fade as we recognize this, that it creates so many more problems, even ongoing ones. Sustainable abundance fosters connection. It gives us this sense of protection for our home. It circulates resources with gratitude. It inspires creativity. Doesn't that sound like an abundant life? Our origins are rooted in this land of abundant life. Kimmerer asks us, can we absorb this idea, this story of Sky Woman, and make it our own so that it's not some artifact of the past, but it provides instructions for our future? Sky Woman arrives, you might have noticed in the visual we provided, pregnant. She's carrying life. She's carrying possibility. And so if we too could emulate her in the sense that we recognize we're carrying the preciousness of life with us, the possibilities of future and the moment, it's really not just about future, it's the now, right? It's what is here now for us. If we carry that with that sense of preciousness, if we carry it with a sense of responsibility, and then maybe we'll finally root here on Turtle Island, make it our own home, belong, and care for it naturally. So will we cooperate in partnership with all beings? Will we do all these things? Will we root? Will we carry with a sense of preciousness all this life? I know, that we can, and I hope that we will. And I believe that we must. Our abundant thriving, even our surviving, depends on the conscious choices that we make right now. The rewards of a sustainably abundant life are so rich and really beyond our imagination until we begin to reap them. But as we do so, we can recognize that this idea of sustainable abundance is the key, that moving our needle of prosperity teachings from personal and individual to collective and holistic will bring us so much more joy. A sense not of being alone, but together as we were meant to be. So I hope you'll join me, and as we close out, that we affirm this truth together to bring it all together, that we live a sustainably abundant life, honoring Mother Earth with reciprocity and gratitude. Let's say it together. I live a sustainably abundant life, honoring Mother Earth with reciprocity and gratitude. And so it is.